Proverbs 17 today, and with me at the Wisdom Roundtable are two new guests, very good friends of mine. Mike Bonomo pastors with me at an amazing little church called Refuge Long Beach. Mike, welcome to the studio.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me, man. Good to be here.
It's good to have you here. Mike and I we're actually working now on a recovery series for Through the Word. Very excited on that one. Joining us as well is Brad Hornback. Brad is a military chaplain, dad, high school teacher, and I have just been informed the most interesting man in the universe. Congrats on that, Brad.
Well, thank you. It's new to me as well.
it's an honor. And for that honor, I'm going to give you the honor. Why don't you take us in? You picked verse 1 in chapter 17. What did you find there?
Yeah, verse 1 says, "Better is a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife." Hmm. You know, when I look at this, basically, I just think of a family meal and sitting around the table, hanging out together, friends there, and just having a good time of fellowship. And we don't want to bring strife into that. We don't want to have conflict that's brought into that. And, you know, this literally tells us this better is a dry crust. So I'd rather have a cracker. I'd rather be sitting there eating a saltine cracker, hanging out with good people, fellowshipping, glorifying the Lord, than to have this feast. Now, don't get me wrong. I love food, though.
I can invite you over, and it doesn't matter what I serve. I'm good as long as I provide the fellowship. Actually, I love that you picked this because we actually just sat down, the three of us and a couple of other guys at just next to the studio here. And I just was sitting back and thinking how great it was just sit together and have a meal and the fellowship.
Amen.
I think there's great peace found in that when you are with fellow believers hanging out and just breaking bread, essentially. I mean, it's scriptural. So, I mean, how much better could it get?
Yeah. And just says don't bring in the strife. Leave it to the side.
Yeah, you know, God calls for us to have order within our lives. And the family structure, you know, the structure with friends and so forth, it is very, very important. And you bring strife into it, it just starts to cause division. It starts to disrupt the order that God intended. And that's not what we want to do. We want to glorify the Lord in all that we're doing.
Hmm. Well, I'm going to take us a little bit forward to verse 14, a favorite of mine. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam, so drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. Now, we didn't plan this. Actually, it goes pretty well with verse 1. As you're sitting at the table with the family meal, drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. This is brilliant wisdom here, a chance to check yourself before you wreck your relationships. When something bugs you, some small matter between you and a friend, a coworker, sibling, spouse, you want to fix it, or actually you want to fix them, just check yourself and picture yourself standing in a stream at like a huge beaver dam. It's holding back a river, and you just feel like you have to move this one stick right at the heart of it. Just stop and remember that starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. Just ask yourself, is it worth it? Or could you just, as it says, drop the matter before a dispute breaks out? Let it go. Kids, brothers, sisters, take note. If you were wronged, be wrong. Take it to the cross and just let it go. You can communicate without the quarreling. Wow. Mike, you had a verse for us. Why don't you take us ahead to verse 22?
Yeah, verse 22 in the New King James says, "A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." Mm. And chapter 12, verse 25 says, "Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up." Ever notice that when you're happy, you feel better?
Yeah.
Right? A merry heart does good like medicine. This is so cool. Research has found direct links between happiness and our health. And Solomon didn't know this then, but endorphins, serotonin, and dopamine get activated when we're stimulated mentally or physically, right? Good stuff flows through you when you get a good word. It's refreshing when you need some good news. You know, God's word has this effect on my heart. When I read a verse at just the right time, it's good for the old ticker.
That's good.
And that, it says, is like medicine. But it says a broken spirit dries the bones. So the opposite effect can hit when we're down. Dry bones, that's a powerful image
picture,
of depression.
Yeah.
It's hard to cheer someone up whose spirit is broken. But thankfully, Psalm 19 says the word of God revives the soul.
Mm. Yeah, you think of that picture in Ezekiel of the valley of dry bones.
Yeah.
Our God is a God who can put some flesh back on those bones and some joy back on that heart.
Amen.
You ever see somebody's face when you see them walking down the street or down a hallway and they look bummed out, they look depressed. And just by simply asking them maybe how they're doing and really waiting for an answer, you know, and having that joy in our heart as we ask, can just brighten their day.
Yeah, that merry heart's contagious,
man. It makes me think of that, like just that kind of interaction.
Yeah, does the heart good. Brad, you got one back at verse 3. Take us back to verse 3.
Yeah, verse 3 says, "The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts." And, you know, it talks about silver and gold in this verse, but I like to think of steel. You know, you think of skyscrapers shooting up into the sky and this concept of iron ore being blasted by the furnace and then carbon added. And in doing this, I'm going to switch gears back over to the other part of the verse. The Lord tests the hearts. You know, our hearts are basically blasted in the furnace like iron ore. And it's put through trials and problems and struggles. And even the other side, it could be put where we have wealth or success or notoriety. And what do we do with that? You know, it's a testing of our heart in that fire and what our motives are. And so, you know, just like steel, it's filled with carbon, helps it become stronger. You know, I think we need to allow ourselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit because it's going to allow us to be stronger in serving the Lord.
Yeah. And you think about it that way, you don't look at the steel, you don't look at the silver or gold. And as it's being refined, you don't say to the refiner, "What are you doing? Why are you putting the fire on there?" You know, they're at work. They're doing something. They're purifying. Same thing goes for trials. When you go through trials, you don't say to God, "What are you doing?" Like, you're tempted to say that, but you understand from the word and you understand from experience, he's purifying. He's at work. He's the refiner.
And I think also, and I don't know, Mike, if you want to add on this, but you know, when it could be things even serving in the church, you know, why are we doing it? You know, where's our heart at with that? Just like the religious leaders during Jesus' days, you know, standing on the corners, praying long, long prayers and so forth. You know, where is our heart in this?
Yeah. And David says, you know, tells the Lord, "Test me and show me, you know, search my heart and know me." And sometimes the way he does that to show you is put you through the trial and the dirt comes up, but he doesn't bring the dirt up so you can feel lousy about yourself. He brings it up so you can let go of it and let him take it away. And that's Amen. How the refining works. All right. We're going to skip ahead to verse 24. Mike, you had something for us there. What you got?
Yeah. Verse 24 in the NIV says, "A discerning person keeps wisdom in view, but a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth." And we need to view life through the right lens, right? That wisdom is what God wants us to seek and to filter our thoughts and our actions through. And the Bible says, wisdom starts with fearing God.
Right.
And it says the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So the one who keeps wisdom in view is the discerning person who knows God. If I know God, the wise counsel of his words in my heart, I'm going to view the road and all the issues of life with God's instruction in mind. And this helps me stay focused with purpose. But in contrast, a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth. The fool just can't. He just can't see things clearly. His eyes are everywhere except for where he should be looking. And the ends of the earth reminds me that without direction, people wander aimlessly through life, never finding their purpose, which comes only through knowing God, the source of wisdom and understanding.
Yeah, I love that picture of fixing your eyes, keeping wisdom in view. There's certain things that, you know, when you're on a certain job or as a dad, you know, it's like, whatever's going on, you keep your kids in view. You keep something in view. In the picture here, if you're discerning, you keep wisdom in view. Life hits you with all kinds of adventures, but you keep your eyes like you're looking at wisdom. Make sure you're doing the right thing. All right, 1717, I want to close out with an absolute favorite of mine. I actually know this one in Romanian, long story, but I love this verse.
Let's hear it. Hey,
a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. A friend loves, period. All times, unconditional, a friend loves. Whatever you're going through, an adversity, hard times, that is literally what friends are for. A brother is born for a time of adversity. Keep smiling. Keep shining. No, I won't do the rest of the friend song. But you can always count on me. But the interesting thing here, aside from my frequent and random song references, is that the word for has also been translated from, as in adversity turns that friend into a true brother, a true sister. And I thank God for the hard times that made us close. My family, my wife and three kids, man, we went through it together. We had some hard times. We had a stretch of about 5 years where the finances just kept getting lower and lower. We had a foreclosure. We moved 10 times. Moving is stressful when you got little kids. But through all of that, the five of us are the only ones who knew that experience. And thank God it brought us closer, because that kind of struggle will either drive you apart or drive you closer or drive you crazy. And I praise God that the five of us are closer through it.
All right. Last night I was teaching Proverbs 24:10. It says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Mm-hmm. And I just love how this comes in. A brother is born to strengthen you through that adversity. I love it.
That's awesome. Well, that's all the time we got for Proverbs 17. Take a read yourselves, discuss that with some friends, and the three of us will meet you back here in Proverbs 18.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.